If you've been listening for the last couple of days, you'll have been hearing a series of interviews about avocados and the different varieties we get in South Africa and the wonderful nutritional benefits of avos, the ins and outs of picking the right one and knowing when it's ripe and how to make it ripen faster and how to store them correctly. Lots of sort of very helpful and useful stuff. But let's be honest, the most important thing is eating the avocado, and I am the lucky one who gets to do that today and talk about creative ways of using them in the kitchen. I'm quite boring when it comes to avos because there are basically two ways I eat them. One is cut open with a knife, drizzled with some balsamic vinegar and a grinding of coarse salt and black pepper over the top, and hand me a teaspoon and I am a happy person. The other thing I love to use them in is guacamole, because we eat quite a lot of Mexican food. So some ground cumin, some fresh coriander, some nice fresh lime juice, and you can turn it into something very special. But that's kind of where my repertoire ends. So I'm very happy to have a guest with us in studio today who's going to fix that. Sam Linsell needs very little introduction. She's joined us before, but she is back today. To remind you, her wonderful award-winning food blog is called Drizzle and Dip. She is a food writer, cookbook author, recipe developer, and food stylist, and it shows in the plates of food that are sitting in front of me. Sam, lovely to have you with us again.
It's so nice to be back. Thanks, Pippa.
And I can't wait to dive in and try. Before I try these creations, I mean, are you a big avo fan yourself? And if so, what's your favorite way to eat them?
I'm a huge avo fan because I just love the nutritional value of it, and I love the flavor of it. I do really eat it a lot on toast. I love it with any form of an egg thing or a breakfast thing, on wraps or any form of Mexican type of dishes. So it goes so well with any of the Mexican flavor profile and pairs very well with chicken dishes. It's a great dip to add to many things. You'll see today I made a hummus with avo. And it's basically a little bit of a mashup between traditional hummus and a bit of a guacamole element coming in.
Bringing together two of my favorite flavor profiles. So can't wait. But before we get to that, I'm going to start with a very healthy avo breakfast. And it's not avo on toast with a poached egg on top. It's a glass of a smoothie, which to my surprise is not green. It's yellow and brilliant golden color. What have you put in here, Sam?
So this is a mango avo pineapple smoothie, and I've added a dash of mint and a little bit of lime. But avocados actually can be quite pale when it goes up against a bright color like mango. So it's there to add a lot of nutrition, obviously add a lot of texture. So you'll notice the smoothie is particularly smooth. And creamy.
It's creamy.
Yes.
The consistency is so creamy. Often what puts me off a smoothie is it's too bitty. This is like drinking silk. I mean, it's gorgeously creamy. And you get that sweetness of the mango, creaminess of the avo, the little zing of the pineapple. And what did you say was the other ingredient?
Lime and a dash of mint.
And mint, okay.
So this is a great vegan option because there's no dairy in this, but you sort of feel like you're having some dairy. And you're getting your highly nutritious and extra fiber from an avo. So it's all in there.
That's a brilliant idea. So the creaminess without having to add yogurt or what you would normally add to a smoothie. Yes. That's very, very clever. Okay. That I would happily have for breakfast and enjoy. But I have to move on to this plate next to me with the hummus because I love hummus on its own. And I also love guacamole. As I said, I make it quite often. But I don't think I've ever had the two combined.
Yes.
What you've put in front of me is covered in glorious pops of color from beautiful pomegranate seeds and little cubes of, I can see cucumber and yellow pepper. It looks utterly delicious. I would be very happy to serve this to guests on a dinner table.
Yes.
What have you done? What have you put in here? Well, I have a taste.
So I absolutely love a loaded hummus because, you know, just to make it a little bit more crunchy and adding so much more interest to it, I've added chopped up bell pepper, coriander seeds and pomegranate seeds. So it's adding a lot of texture to the dish, and you must scoop up and try and get a little bit of everything. I think one can't be shy with the loaded hummus. One can actually really just add whatever you like.
So I'm going to go in and this is going to make a lot of noise. So
very
I'm going to
crunchy.
Crunch it off my phone. The hummus itself, I mean, traditionally you would have chickpeas, tahini paste. What else would you put into that?
You know, hummus these days, you can just go take it on your own flavor adventure, really. For this one, I've added a touch of harissa paste to give it a little bit of a Middle Eastern flavor profile, but very subtly. And I've also added lemon, tahini, your traditional things that you add. A little bit of coriander went into the mix as well, but you don't have to do that. You can leave that out.
So I'm one of those who adores coriander. I know there's a whole subset of genetically predisposed to hating it, and I understand, and you have my sympathies, because for me it's one of the most beautiful flavours on earth, but you could leave that out. The harissa, you just get that nice little spicy warmth coming through it as well.
And you could make it a bit more spicy if you like. You can add chili or more harissa, but I just wanted to keep it quite subtle and keep it a little bit fresh with the toppings.
And then the pop of the pomegranate seeds. I mean, they are so wonderful. They are so beautiful on any dish, but they are fresh and juicy, and to put them with the creaminess of the avo.
Yes, and you can make guacamole with pomegranate seed. It's one of my little secret things that I love to do.
Getting them out of the pomegranate is the thing that always stumps me, though. Yes. It's a mess, and I end up with white pithy bits everywhere. What's the trick? Is there a special trick?
Well, there are two tricks. If you've got a very big one, you can cut it in half and bash it on the back with a spoon, and that can work. Alternatively, you take a big bowl of water, you submerge it in the water, and you peel it out underneath, and then you it's amazing. And then you'll find that the pithy bits will float to the surface, and then you can pick out, and then you're giving your, you know, they don't need a rinse, but you're giving them a bit of a rinse as
well. Anyway, that's really clever. I'm going to try and do that underwater. That's going to save a lot of my clothes from being splashed in pomegranate juice as well. Question from one of our listeners, Sam. An avo turns black quite quickly after you cut it open. What do you do to avoid that or to slow down that process?
What causes it to go black is oxidation. So the best thing to do is to cover it immediately, the entire surface of it. And also, if you can, add a bit of acid such as lemon. Just give it a squeeze and then cover it extremely tightly and then pack it away. Mm-hmm. That's your best bet. The other thing is to cut the avo around the circumference, not the lengthways. That way, when you're sealing it, you've got a smaller area to seal. And therefore, the bulk of your avo will actually be...
Still be covered by its own skin.
So that's a better way to store avos versus cutting them like diagonally around the larger part of the...
That makes a lot of sense. That really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But ideally, avos aren't really designed to keep for too long. One thing you could do is you could make a guacamole or a mash and then freeze that.
Freeze it?
Yes.
But really?
Yes, you can freeze that. Or if you can purchase a ready-made guacamole and then freeze that, that also works very well.
You know, I've seen the packets of frozen avo slices in a couple of supermarkets recently, and I've looked at them and thought, I'm a little bit skeptical, but... from what you've said, apparently it freezes better than I'm thinking.
They keep quite well.
Okay.
I've done a test on that.
So good to know. So when they're in season and the prices are particularly good, nice way to stock up then.
Yes.
Because obviously it's a seasonal. I mean, we're very lucky, Sam. We're starting to get avos a lot longer, not quite all year round, but for a lot longer in the year than I remember them being available.
We do actually get them all year round.
Is it all year round?
But the season
now?
Is now extended.
Okay.
So it's a much longer season, which is fantastic for us. And also to bear in mind that doesn't matter whether you're having a dark avo or a light-skinned avo, they're equally nutritious and they're very similar in flavor. So I don't know if you know the difference in terms of how to tell if they ripened.
No, I don't. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I've got two avos here.
Yeah.
One is the dark skin, so they will always go dark and then you'll know automatically that they are ripe because they're darker.
Okay.
And the light ones, you'll only really be able to tell if the stem comes off quite easily.
As it does
just
on
like
this
that.
One. Okay.
And if you give it a very light squeeze, but we really do encourage people not to squeeze that because it really destroys them in supermarkets.
I've had that experience of buying some and getting them home and then realizing somebody's had a good go at them because they're kind of finger marked bruises all over them.
Yes, and I've seen retailers put up signs saying do not squeeze the avos. But you can rely on your main bigger retailers to, if they're going to say to you that it's ripe and ready to eat, then it will be. And the best thing is to just take it like that, and I'd say 95% to 100% of the time it will be ready to eat. If it's not, you just keep it for another day or so.
And the old trick of put it in a brown bag with a banana, because the ethylene, I think it is, coming off the ripening banana will help ripen the avo. Is that true?
Yeah. Or I just find a little bit of heat. Okay. Another little trick is put it close to the back of your fridge where there's a little bit of heat coming through, and that can also work. But I tend to just buy them in bulk when they're in season, and then ripen them in sort of stages. And as they ripen, I pop them in the fridge and let the other ones
stay
ripen.
Out a little
so you
longer.
Sort of keep like a flow going of the avo ripening.
Just in case you've come in late to the conversation, our guest in studio is Sam Linsell of the wonderful Drizzle and Dip food blog, talking to us about cooking with avocados and doing more creative things than just mashing them on toast or eating them in a guacamole. No disrespect to either of those two things. They're both wonderful as well. Somebody asking, when choosing between the rough skin avo and the smoother skin, really what is the difference, if any? Texture, flavor-wise, Sam, is there much of a muchness?
They pretty much deliver the same in terms of nutrition, texture, and flavor. So they're interchangeable. You can use either or.
Okay.
The harsh or the darker skinned avos, they might have a tiny bit of a better flavor profile. But I mean, for me, I actually love the texture of the light-skinned avos as well. So I choose between those two equally. I don't find there's that much difference.
Okay. Sue's got it right. She says, I've just had half of a small Fuerte avo with half of a spiced Campeel Labneh ball in its own olive oil for my lunch experiment, and it was delicious. That sounds absolutely divine. Creaminess, I mean, it's the creamy sort of flavor profile does pair well with something smooth like a labneh, or even with a crumbled feta or something like that. But the idea of that little ball sitting in the scoop where the pip of the avo has come out, I hope you photographed it, Sue. It sounds pretty as well as delicious. Another person who says, I freeze my avos and then put them into soup before liquidizing it.
Amazing idea. That's nice. Also another opportunity to create texture within the avocado, giving it that creaminess. And obviously, what's so strange is this beautiful creamy fruit. It's a fruit, as we know.
Yes.
Provides 10 grams of fiber for one medium avo. So that's it puts it in a very, very high fiber category. Okay. So that's wonderful for us because we all need to be adding more fiber to our diet.
Absolutely, especially as we get older, really important. Okay, there's another way to eat it. Lionel in Durbanville says, try avos with a splash of that sauce. Delicious, he says. I don't think I've ever tried that. But it makes sense. It's got that sort of salty umami flavor profile.
So in the Green Goddess dressing of the salad that you're going to try next.
I'm going to try right now.
I've used Worcester sauce and anchovies in the dressing.
Okay.
To give it a lovely umami flavor profile. And in that Green Goddess dressing, I've used avocado, I've used spinach, mayonnaise, yogurt, anchovies, Worcester sauce.
Delicious.
And a little bit of white wine vinegar. And then you just mix it up with your pasta, your bacon, your tomatoes, or whatever you feel like adding to make it nice and crunchy. And
so the avo is in the dressing. I mean, I've had so many variations of pasta salad with chopped up avo, feta, bacon, but this dressing is something else. It's got that beautiful herbies into it. So Worcester sauce, anchovies, did you say?
Yes, four anchovies for the dressing, which just gives it such a flavor boost. Just, you don't particularly taste it.
I was just going to say, you don't let that. I know some people crawl at the thought of an anchovy, but it's not there as a, you're not going, oh my gosh, there's fish in this. It's just that little pack of umami punch that it gives.
Yes, and I mean, that's where Worcester sauce gets its flavor from, because it's based on anchovy. It's an anchovy sauce. So it all ties in there. And then I've added quite a bit of basil to that, which you blend in with the spinach, which gives it a lovely green zest, vibrant color. And that just livens it all up.
I hope our photographer got a good picture of how beautifully bright and popped full of flavor, of color this is, as well as flavor. Avo and herbs are actually leafy herbs in particular. They go so well together. They really match well.
Absolutely. So you can go in coriander or you can go in basil format. I mean, I've added mint to the smoothie. So it's very much all in that flavor spectrum and definitely works so well.
Here's one I didn't see coming. One of our listeners says, I made the most delicious panko crumbed deep fried avo served with a sweet chili dip. You've got to get your ripeness just right, I would imagine, to be able to hold shape to take crumbing and deep frying, and it's not the healthiest way of cooking them, but it sounds really delicious and texturally really interesting.
Yes, I'm not a big fan of cooking avo because I much prefer them raw, but with that you could possibly get away with it if you're coating it with an egg and crumb, and therefore you kind of insulating, you're not really getting to like seriously cooking the avo. You're just creating like a beautiful outer crunchy
shell
texture, and then that could be very nice. For me, texturally it might be a little bit rich for me. I prefer to break it up using, you know, some sort of bread or wrap or sandwich or something like that.
Table writing it to say, buying guacamole might be better for storage purposes, but it's more expensive than buying the raw fruit. Agreed, and I would add to that, it's never the same. Even the very, very best store-bought guacamole is not the same as one that you've made 5 minutes before bringing it to the table. I mean, Sam, this is an ingredient that loves being served bang fresh.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it sort of cheats quick versions of guacamole. You don't have to, can just make it green and add spring onions, coriander, lime juice, and then you've got a guacamole essentially.
So David writes in to say there's no need to be scared of keeping avos once they've been cut. The flesh just dries out and can be cut off. I actually enjoy eating the dried out portion. Covering them can lead to them going mushy, and I don't ever put them in the fridge, he says. Okay. If you like the sort of hard and dried out bit that comes after that, David, then go right ahead and keep on eating it, is all I'll say. I've always kept mine in the fridge after opening.
Yes. I have left it out by mistake, and it definitely, for me, is not. It definitely degrades.
quite quickly. Okay. Here is, let's just read a few more of the WhatsApps coming through. My nephew has a long list of allergies, the person says, and my sister made him an avocado-based chocolate cake, which was incredible. You would not have known it wasn't a traditional cake if no one had told you. Some people are nervous of using them in desserts, but I, for example, I've had a chocolate mousse based on avocado.
Definitely.
That you would never have known had no dairy in it.
Absolutely, because chocolate's such a strong flavor, it will dominate, and the avo is there to add an amazing texture and, you know, you can also make it into ice cream.
Oh,
I've made a lovely soft serve with avocado and coconut.
Oh, that
and lime.
Sounds amazing.
It's on my website. It's dreamy and creamy and so good.
Now, I'm thinking in summertime, if you're wanting to wow, if you're entertaining and you want a wow starter, a frozen avocado ice cream prawn cocktail type thing happening might
be
amazing.
Yes.
There's a lot to play with here. So, look, there are lots of ideas on Sam's website. Drizzle and Dip is what you're looking for. All of her social media profiles use that name as well. Somebody else writing in to say avocado chocolate mousse is absolutely delicious. So, in case you think I was insane, there's a second vote coming in. Before we run out of time, what's your personal favorite way to use the fruit? Would it be one of these dishes you bought for me today? Or
no, I will. I love to have it within my breakfast. I know I'm a little bit boring with that avo toast and various iterations of that, and I just absolutely love the pairing of any form of an egg, whether it be an omelet or poached egg or fried egg, scrambled egg, with avo on a toast, a beautiful sourdough, whole wheat, whatever kind of toast. And then you can add different things on top of that. You can add pestos, and I also sometimes add some salad-y, vegetable-y things, leafy things, and it's so good, even for lunch.
You've given us some amazing ideas, Sam. Thank you so much for bringing these wonderful dishes in. I'm going to have some more tastes during the news. But please check out Sam's Drizzle and Dip blog for lots of inspiration on amazing ways to use our wonderful avocados.